May the Spirit of Truth lead us into all truth. Please be seated. I wonder if any of you have ever been so ticked off at another person that you really wanted to take matters into your own hands, to write them off out of your lives forever, or to give them a taste of their own medicine. Does this sound familiar? Maybe from the days of your youth. To make sure that they got their just desserts? Well, the so-called Good Samaritan in our gospel parable had every reason and now a great opportunity to pay back all the disrespect and ill will that he and his people had received all their lives from those who considered themselves to be the only true sons and daughters of Abraham. You see, the Samaritans, as many of you know, were despised by the Jews, who considered them to be riffraff, the scum of the earth. Even though they had a common ancestry, they worshiped the same God. But after the Exodus, when they had come into the Promised Land, the Samaritans had intermarried with pagans. So the Jews held them in contempt, seeing them as unfaithful to the law of Moses and to the temple worship in Jerusalem. They would never be seen talking with a Samaritan, much less touching or being touched by one of them. We are assuming, of course, that the wounded man was a Jew, especially since the lawyer who asked the question to test Jesus and who knew the scriptures was surely a Jew. At any rate, the contempt between Jews and Samaritans had over the years become mutual, with much hatred and self-righteous finger pointing. It seems that neither side could see their own sin of pride and judging. This had gone on so long that it seemed to be the norm. But Jesus tells this story about one Samaritan who apparently has allowed his pain to be transformed instead of just transferring it through hateful, violent actions. And we are called to do the same. A well-known writer reminds us that if our pain is not transformed, it will be transmitted. And who of us wants this for our children or anyone else? But how does this transformation happen? How is it that instead of being angry and vindictive, this Samaritan shows great compassion to one who, in different circumstances, would likely have treated him badly? This Samaritan doesn't just feel pity for the wounded Jew. He risks his own safety, his very life, because in stopping to help, he too becomes vulnerable to attack by the bandits who always attacked travelers along this stretch of road, this mountain pass where it was easy for bandits to hide and jump on a lone traveler and beat them and rob them. It was known as the Bloody Way because this was such a common circumstance. But the Good Samaritan, as we call him, was able and willing to take that risk that he could be next. And he was also generous with his time and his money, expecting nothing in return. He was so moved to compassion that he drew close, and even seeing that he was a Jew, he saw that he was alive, and so he came close, poured oil on the wounds to cleanse them and wine to dull the pain. He picked him up, put him on his own animal, and as the story goes, took him to the inn where he himself cared for him until morning. And then he gave the innkeeper money and promised to repay whatever more was spent. So, we wonder, what had happened to his anger or his pain or his despair about having been treated so poorly, so shamefully, by such a racist society? Surely he had suffered from prejudice and the injustice and the abuse that was common in that day. But somehow he had allowed God to change him, to change that pain into compassion. And so he wanted to alleviate the suffering that he encountered. He became what Henry Nouwen calls a wounded healer. His experience of injustice had evoked in him a resolve to stop that awful cycle of hatred and violence and to become part of the answer instead of part of the problem. So he responded with compassionate action. We can learn a lot from him. Few of us have suffered that kind of systemic injustice that was inflicted upon the Samaritans. However, I expect that most of us adults have experienced pain, maybe from others, or maybe just from life circumstances. It may not be obvious to the people around you because most of us put on an appropriate face or mask. But we can all ask God to transform our pain and suffering so that we too can become wounded healers. Rather than allowing a particular group or person or the larger society or even circumstances such as disability, age, or race to define us, we can listen to God in prayer and through Scripture, who defines us as God's beloved. The Scriptures tell us that we are each precious to God who delights in us. God, who is pouring love into your hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can let ourselves be immersed in God's love, and in so doing, we are helped to become more loving and accepting of others and even of ourselves. For God loves and accepts us even with all our faults and failings. In coming to know God's grace and God's acceptance, we become freer of the sin of judging others. We are more able to see them through the eyes of Christ. The story of the Good Samaritan clearly illustrated that our neighbor is anyone and everyone in need, and describes in detail how we are to go out of our way to help, even at great cost, both in our time and money, and even when there is risk involved. This is how Jesus lived his life, and we are to be his followers who are called to do the work that he started, to have compassion, to actively care for our neighbor, including those that society sees as the least of these. We can pray to actually look at another person with the tender, loving gaze of Christ, who loves and forgives us all. And in the process, we might find that our hearts are softened so that we can more easily forgive and move on. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest, wrote in a meditation recently, and I think this is important. God can use the very thing that would normally destroy us, the tragic, the sorrowful, the painful, the unjust, God can use to transform and enlighten us so that God's love flows more and more through us and out to our neighbor that God places in our path. This includes our families, our acquaintances, friends, strangers, the poor and oppressed, and even our enemies. For in God's love, even our enemies become our neighbors when we choose transformation rather than turning bitter and looking for someone to blame. The mystery of transformation is always pure gift, which God is delighted to give us. We are blessed when we accept this gift of God's love and the promise of Jesus that, as children of God, God will use us to bless others, even when we're not aware of it. As Jesus said, out of your hearts will flow rivers of life-giving, healing water through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.